everyone, Sam Brief here with a new Chi State pod for you, and we're moving along with part two of our basketball in review series. And today, it's bringing aboard Chicago State's head men's basketball coach, Gerald Gillian. So he's going to break down the Cougars season with us. And just a little background in case you were in and out or not super locked into the season. But Coach Gillian came in and set a whole new foundation, right? He is a first-year head coach, brought in a first-year coaching staff, a roster that was almost entirely, with the exception of just two players, entirely new from previous Chicago State teams. And the success came early. Two wins in his first two games, taking down St. Thomas and SIUE. So right away, the eyebrows were raised about Chicago State, and he built an identity of defense, an identity of hustle, and an identity of just kind of slowing it down, beating teams up, and it was behind the second team all-WAC star, Brandon Betson, who hit a couple game winners this year, including what Coach is going to call his highlight of this season, the February 26th win over New Mexico State, in which Chicago State took down the eventual WAC champion, a team that beat UConn in that 12-5 upset in March Madness. Well, Chicago State beat them, and that really encapsulated some of the growth for this team. Seven wins, three conference wins, and an appearance at the WAC tournament for the first time since 2020. So for Chicago State, for Coach Gillian, this was a year of growth, but of course he's still got a lot of boxes to check, and he's disappointed that he's talking to me right now, that he's not playing in the NCAA tournament, and he sees that as the next step for his program. So without further ado, I will kick it to Coach. But first, I want to remind you that our partners at BSN Sports are the largest providers of team sports equipment and apparel in the country. And they'd like to thank all the coaches out there who truly are the heart of the game. While BSN Sports is the best at equipping athletes, coaches are the best at equipping lives. And that's the real final score. So learn more about how BSN Sports can save you time off the field by giving you more time to impact lives on it. So call your local BSN Sports sales pro or visit bsnsports.com today. And now, here's Coach Gillian. Opening night against St. Thomas, November 9th. You're taking on this team that came in Division III to Division I, a nice litmus test for your team. We hadn't seen any of your guys before, really, other than Corian Rush and Noah B.G. Rumwami. This was a totally new roster with a new coaching staff led by you. Night before the game, what was your feeling?
That was almost a decade ago. Let me see if I can.
Know.
Let me see if I can go back. Excited, anxious, you know, ready to get the show on the road. You know, felt like I was probably overprepared, and I was just ready to get to it. Really, really was anxious to see what our guys was going to do and how the atmosphere was going to be at Chicago State.
What was your sense of where the team was at the beginning of the season? Because like I said, you had a ton of JUCO transfers, freshmen, new coaching staff. I didn't know what to expect, but I know you did as the coach. So what were you expecting that night one?
Well, One of the biggest things that I always like to tell the guys is that if you're prepared, you know, you'll be able to outstand any of the obstacles that's being thrown your way. So despite having, about five freshmen that received minutes, you had another five or six guys that has never played a game of Division I basketball. You had a brand new coaching staff, nobody that was in the level that they were before. With a brand new coach, I still felt good about it because we had put in the work leading up to it. And I knew that at some point we were going to have success. I didn't know when that were, and it was a good thing that we was able to open up the night, the season with the win. But I knew that our guys in general was going to be successful because of the hard work that they put in.
You won your first game, you won your second game. Both of them were games in which defense and grinding down the stretch were huge roles.
Right.
You allowed 5 points in the last 5 minutes to St. Thomas, 6 points in the last 6 minutes to SIUE, who scored only 56 points, and a week into the season, you were 2-0. And a lot of people were looking around saying, oh my God, Chicago State, 2-0? What the heck is going on? Right. I thought they didn't win any games. And you're just sitting here watching your team work hard. How did you feel about the expectations versus reality of that first week of the season, which I know was a decade ago?
I mean, I felt really good for the guys. Mm-hmm. I felt really good for the community. And I felt really good for my family, you know, because coming into Chicago State, you're naturally going to have a lot of naysayers. But it's always good to have positive people that's supporting you, positive people that's going to listen to you, positive people that's going to go the extra mile for you. So having that first week become, in my eyes, successful, it was, first off, it was a sense of a breath of fresh air. It's like, okay, this hard work is paying off. The sacrifice is paying off. And, you know, I was just happy with the results. And, you know, the family was happy with the results, you know, because I said all the time, the players work hard and they sacrifice a lot. But my family sacrificed a lot, too. So to have that success come, like my son is transferred. My son has been to 6 different states in 9 years. You know, that's more than a military kid. So to have that immediate success on and off the court, man, it was really a breath of fresh air.
And it was great, Coach, to meet so much of your family this year, to see them around, to see your kids running around, literally running around, and
right.
You know, us all trying to catch up to them. How's it been for you and your family to be in Chicago now? You moved right before the season, right, from Alabama, and your last gig up here to Chicago?
It's been really, really good. A great experience thus far. My children survived a winter in Chicago. I thought it's one of the most beautiful things. I'm really into the Four Seasons. And, you know, everyone have embraced my family with open arms, from the president to the AD, to the staff, you know, the student body, the community. It's been a really, really good experience. And I just I hope, you know, things continue to trend in the right direction as we go into year 2.
Let's talk about the family of your team, because that's what you built this year. Right. I want to dive into the nitty-gritty with you, Coach. 7-25, you win 3 conference games. Highlight of the season for you, what was it?
Oh, definitely New Mexico State, getting that win. That was really, really big. And I also think getting my first conference win was really big, too. And, you know, every time you win a game in college basketball, it's an exciting moment. But those 2 wins was really exciting for me. One, because I say it all the time, New Mexico State is the North Carolina of the WAC. And Cal Baptist, you know, his first game, first conference win at home, you know, it was a really good experience, really good. But, you know, I look at it like we're just setting the foundation for more things to come.
The North Carolina of the WAC, you took him down. You took down California Baptist, Coach, too, a month before. And the thing that tied those 2 wins together is they both ended with the ball in Brandon Betson's hands.
Right.
Brandon Betson hit pretty much the same shot, this running floater from the left side to win the game. Same basket. It was like deja vu. January 8th to beat CBU, and then at the end of February, the win over New Mexico State. Let's talk about Brandon, because he was your best player this season. Second team All-WAC, first in almost a decade for a Chicago State player. What did Brandon mean to this program?
Oh, man, Brandon Betson meant the world to this program, and not necessarily for his play on the court. Mm-hmm. His hard work and his dedication to being successful is what set Brandon apart from everybody, and it gave him an edge, because Brandon Betson wants to be great at life. You know, I talked to him about winning the day, and his main goal every day is just, you know, to get little wins throughout the day. And it leads on to long-term success in the future. So, man, like Brandon Betson on the court, is I think he's going to be a professional basketball player when it's all said and done. Shoot the ball too good, handle it. You can't guard him one-on-one. But better than that, his work ethic off the court, who he is as a person off the court, supersedes what he does on the court.
Yeah, I got to know Brandon pretty well this year, and I was super impressed. All the time I'd walk into the gym at 11 a.m. on a random Monday.
Right.
He just got back from a road trip, and he's just out there shooting. He's going over drills. It was fascinating to watch him. He'd go on his phone, pull up YouTube, and pull up highlights of point guard X.
Right.
It could be Kyrie, could be Chris Paul, could be Dame Lillard, one of his favorites. And he'd watch some move they do, and then he'd go out and do it like 25 times to try and replicate it. He's a crisp ball handler and a dead-eye shooter. We saw his three-point shooting get a lot better, 37% by the end of his season. He really lifted this team, 35 minutes. What to you was the most Brandon Betson thing about what he did this season?
Probably against Lamar. Brandon Betson was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And not even necessarily from an offensive standpoint. I'll never forget, we was at Lamar, and we were down, I want to say, 7. And he had a phenomenal first half on the offensive end. But what I was most impressed with him was him being able to huddle the team up. I want to say we had 7 scholarship players out there at the time, and one of them was hurt. It was an interesting situation. He had huddled those guys up. We had just lost to the game before that. He huddled those guys up at the half, and he's like, I don't care what happened. We're not losing this game. I don't care what we have to do. We are not losing this game. And that's the little, piece that I got of the conversation. But he had our guys so in tune, so locked in. And I want to say we was missing 3 or 4 starters. And he had them so locked in that second half. And to be able to come away with the victory was mind-boggling. And that's when I knew that Brandon Betson had something special. That right there was like, okay, I have something.
A leader.
Yeah.
And a leader in moments where your team needed him.
Right.
You guys went through the ringer. And, this is easy to say about any program. COVID, injuries, travel, every program goes through it, but you really went through it, especially right around that road trip, January. You had a few guys having to sit out because of COVID. Bryce Johnson went down with the ankle. Kedrick Green had to miss almost a month. J.J. Harris, he was dealing with a tailbone injury. What did you learn about your team when you had a game like Lamar with fewer than 10 scholarship players?
Fighters. Yeah. Guys are going to come in and compete. And I will say, I demand a lot out of our guys. I went one game the day before, we was running like 18 suicides, and everybody thought I was crazy. They thought, I want to say Lamar was one of those games, but Cal Baptist, I demand a lot out of our guys because I want to put them in difficult situations before the game starts to see how they handle those and make the necessary adjustments so when the ball tip off, they're ready to go. They're ready to face anything.
You put them in difficult situations so that it's almost easier in the game. What's the most difficult situation? Take me inside the Gerald Gillian practice or a workout. What's an example?
Would probably say this year, the day before we played Cal Baptist. The day before we played Cal Baptist, we had just given up, I want to say, 93 points to Seattle. And that just don't sit well with me because I'm a defensive-minded guy. And to see the way we responded on our home court, and it wasn't just from the players, it was from everybody. I take a lot of the blame for that. That next day, don't want to go into details, but I think if our guys remembered any day this year, it was probably that one, because we got in there, I want to say we didn't touch a basketball, and we got their mind focused for the next game through some difficult situations, I'll say. And they responded in a way. I want to say we gave up, what, like 54 points to a Cal Baptist team. They run the bell, answered the challenge, and they was ready to go. But that Friday before we played Cal Baptist was a very difficult day. And a lot of guys, you know, had the I'm hurt, I'm injured, and they can't do the things that was required to do. And I just simply told them, hey, man, if you can't do those things, you're not going to play. And it was amazing how they were able to take that situation and flip it into a positive situation the next day.
Give me one detail.
17s. 17s is basically when you're running 17 line touches width-wise and not lengthwise. So you're touching the line 17 times, usually between a minute and 1 minute and 5 seconds, with about a minute to rest. And that reoccurred a lot.
Whew.
Yeah.
I don't want to run any 17s.
Yeah. But like I say, that was a difficult situation.
Mm-hmm.
They responded. They responded in a way that was mind-boggling. And it was on all fronts. Jayshon Corbett was a animal in a good way. Like beast, like ready to go. As a freshman, 19-year-old freshman, Ali Debo responded. Brandon Betson responded. The defense that Teddy and Noah displayed out there, they were like all of our guys, they responded in a way that was like, okay, this foundation of excellence is starting to be set. And, you know, you're going to have roadblocks along the way, but you could see the progression being made even in difficult situations.
That's a physical test. That's really a mental test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And your team answered the bell.
For sure.
Hey, Coach, you mentioned a bunch of these guys just now, and I remember sitting down with you like November 6th, right? A couple days before the season, I laid out my roster in front of you, and I said, all right, give me the vibes. Who's your best shooter? Who's going to start? Who's like last guy off the bench? I just wanted an idea because we hadn't seen so much of them. And you laid it out for me. Mm-hmm. And then the season progressed, things changed, and here we are. Tell me what for you was the most pleasant surprise. Could be a person, could be a thing you did. Most pleasant surprise from this season.
Well, man, that's a very difficult question.
I ask hard questions. Yeah. I'm like, I might have a second career in like the FBI. Now we'll stay here.
I would probably say the way our freshmen adapted throughout the year, because, you know, a lot of times guys are saying that, you know, you can't play freshmen. Everybody is living in the transfer portal. It's mm-hmm. the craziest thing in America. But the way our freshmen responded throughout the season and the consistency of like a Jayshon was phenomenal. But I won't just limit it to Jayshon. All of our freshmen, mm-hmm. you know, even a kid like, and I won't say kid, a young man like Pierce Blunt, to be able to show up every single day and push guys and challenge guys and being reprimanded, you know, when you probably didn't have the best day in class, or, you know, you probably missed a lunch, or, you know, wanted to get an extra hours of sleep, so you probably missed breakfast. To have our freshmen come in and day out and put the work ethic that they did was an amazing sight to see. And it is one thing to say that guys did a good job. Those guys did a phenomenal job, especially those guys who I don't think Jayshon missed a game that he could control. He missed a couple of games with COVID. But besides that, never missed a sprint, never missed a practice, never missed a situation. You know, like, that's really, really hard to do. And the surprising part was our freshmen was able to take on a good amount of the load that, you know, a college season takes on, and they handled it like champions.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned Jayshon, right? The versatility he gave your team.
Right.
He's not that big of a guy.
Right.
But he had to be in some situations pounding with, you know, 22, 23-year-old men, right, like these 18th-year COVID senior, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm, and he's down there in the trenches. That was really impressive. The way Kedrick Green, another freshman, guided your offense. The spark that Ali Diba brought to your team before his wrist injury ended his season. Your freshman delivered.
Yeah.
They built a culture, too, because we've talked about this. Transfers don't necessarily bring that glue year to year, that culture, right, if someone just comes in for 1 year at the end of their career. It's the freshman that set the foundation. How would you describe that foundation that that group of freshmen's building?
A foundation of excellence, as of a foundation of stability. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times with transfers and grad transfers, you know, it's amazing, right? Just being able to come and give that spark to a team. But the long-term success that an incoming freshman brings is unmatched, because they have that sense of pride, that sense of more than just myself. And a lot of times with successful programs, you have to have those outer body experiences where you're not focused all on me. It's more of we, us, you know, are. Those type of words is what I'm looking for when I'm dealing with players. And naturally, yeah, you want to be successful as an individual, but you're not just worried about your individual success. You worry about the success of a program. And, you know, with our freshmen, I'm really, really happy to see that, you know, they have that. It's about us. We're going to set this foundation. We're going to not only get to the NCAA tournament, but we're going to win games in the tournament. And that's the mindset that I want those guys to have. And I like having that mindset created when they first get on campus and not tainted by another individual or another coach or another situation that probably didn't go their way.
And to get to that next step, what do you have to do? I mean, you say, hey, we want to win game in the NCAA tournament, more than one game in the NCAA tournament. What's the biggest shortcoming of this season?
I mean, naturally, not being able to play around this time. But, you know, a lot of it is growing pains. A lot of it is, you know, with the new group of guys, you're probably not going to get the immediate impact result that you want. So, you know, a big shortcoming for me is not playing this at this time. But, you know, every lesson, every situation have positive lessons that come out of it. And, you know, I'll say this year, great learning experience, and it's going to make us so much hungrier for the next time we get an opportunity to play in March.
What kept you up at night the most? You know, what was it that just nagged you?
I can say throughout this season, I probably lost about 200 to 300 hours of sleep. One of the things that kept me up at night probably would be, how can I get these guys to finish games? Mm. You know, because you'll see a trend with us. We'll come out. We'll, you know, I tell these guys every game is going to be a fight. Right. So we'll come out, we'll hit the other team, they'll hit us back. We'll hit, you know, at some point for about a 4 to 6 minute span, it's like we stop punching. And when we start back punching, we looked up and it's like, oh man, we're down. You know, so the biggest thing is keeping me up at night is probably like being able to close out games or being able to survive that, you know, 2 to 3 minute stretch where we're really, really struggling. And I think a lot of that comes with inexperience on all fronts, and I think that would be much better moving forward.
If there were a ton of games like that, Coach, that would fit that sort of vibe, right? First half, you're right there. I mean, I look at the New Year's Day game. We always talk about the New Mexico State win. Well, when you went down there to their place, Pan American Center, one of the toughest places to play in the conference, you were right there. 4-point game, virtually a tie at halftime. And then in the second half, minus 13, and New Mexico State ends up winning 78-61. What is it about those 2 to 3 minute stretches? I mean, we watch, for example, NCAA tournament. Any team can succumb to those, but there are those teams that are the ones as the aggressors. How do you turn your team into the aggressor that's inflicting 2 minutes of pain?
I would probably say experience and depth. You know, when you have those things, you're able to withstand what we would call, you know, those 2-3 minute scoring droughts. And it comes with time. You know, we went out to New Mexico State, I want to say with like 8 scholarship players. We was hit bad with, you know, some medical issues on, you know, just coming back from the Christmas break. And I want to say around that mid, late December time, you was having those effects all throughout the country. So we went out to New Mexico State. We, you know, from the jump, we only had 2 guys that had ever stepped on a college court before. And it just so happened Noah wasn't one of those guys when we went to New Mexico State. So we only had Corian, who had played college ball. So we lacked a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. And then you add not having depth because of, you know, whatever situation that had came up prior. You know, those in particular, that drought, you know, it happens because it's hard to – college basketball, it's a long game. It's a long game, long, dragged-out game, especially when you're wrestling with, I would consider, a Goliath type of opponent. You have to be well-equipped. You know, David wasn't going to fight Goliath with one stone, you know, one pebble. He had a couple of them.
Oh, yeah. He would have been screwed.
Yeah, I think that's probably, you know, what we have to improve on for next year is just improving our depth. And naturally, these guys are getting, you know, experience. So improving those things are going to help us in the future.
David didn't fight Goliath with one pebble. He would have been routed.
Right.
We wouldn't be talking about David versus Goliath because David would have just faded into the abyss.
Right.
David was smart. You have to be smart. And Coach, now you're working on retooling this program. I know you just got back from the road. You're on the recruiting trail. What's the biggest need for this program?
Probably experience and length. You know, I want to be able to always say I want to have guys that can play their natural position, and we need depth. And not only depth, we need guys with length on the perimeter. Length inside, and like I say, we have to make sure we and so length with experience on a perimeter in both inside.
Yeah, you need size. I mean, we saw that in WAC play, right? You'd go up against a Gavin Kensmill for Stephen F. Austin and these huge guys. Mm-hmm. You need that, right? So you're looking for some more size for your team, Coach. For you personally, This is your first head coaching job. So you told me when you first got here that you had a lot to learn. I know you learned a lot.
Right.
What was the biggest surprise for you about what being a head coach entails?
Just the hours that you have to put in order to be successful.
It's different than being an assistant.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a different type of hours. You know, like when I was an assistant, you put in lots of hours just with the players, you know, just checking on them just to make sure that they're good both on and off the court. Well, when you're a head coach, you know, you're spending those hours with the players, but you're also spending those hours with administration. You're spending those hours with the community. You're spending those hours with different people out. And then you have to spend, if not those hours, but more hours with your family. So it's not just player, family. You add about 3 to 4 more different sectors of people. And now you're like, whoa, you really don't have, you know, that the time management becomes a huge factor in being successful.
And then you got me sticking a microphone in your face every once in a while.
Right, right.
Yeah, time management. I mean, I see you. You're running around here. I mean, it's a lot.
Right.
It's a grind. And I appreciated the chance to watch you do it in your first year. Biggest lesson you learned this season, whether it's you or for the team?
You know, inside this situation, there are so many life lessons. Mm-hmm. You know, one of them is probably being able to withstand adversity, you know, not letting a bad situation turn into two or three more bad situations, being able to pivot to something positive, to keep your mind focused on the things that need to be focused on. A lot of times, especially when you have a season that's about 4 or 5 months long, it's so easy to, you know, problems compound. And for me, I'm learning that, okay, next play, next situation, next positive outcome. And that's probably the biggest thing that I'm going to take moving forward, that you have to be able to pivot to something different so you don't continue that negative trend.
Right. A negative can so easily become like a pile of negatives.
Right.
So, right. You know, just make the next shot, right? Let's see the ball go in the basket and move on. Hey, Coach, it was a joy this season, really. Always appreciate you being available and watching you run around and manage your time and manage your team was a real thrill ride. So excited.
Man, I appreciate
for next
it. Appreciate
season.
It.
Anything you want to leave the people with? What can Chicago State fans expect when we're talking the 2022 season preview?
In regards to building a foundation of excellence, you know, like I say, we laid the foundation down this year, and we're going to continue to expand and build, and we're going to bring in players that not only can play, but we're going to bring in players that can really, you know, have a positive impact inside the community, because, you know, we want to be able to touch people outside of Chicago State. We want to be able to touch the south side of Chicago. We want to be able to touch the city and its surrounding areas, but we want to be able to also touch the state of Illinois and just keep expanding outwards until mm-hmm. Chicago State is a household name globally. So next season, we're going to surround ourselves with a personnel that can help reach those goals, not only with wins and losses, because that will improve drastically next year. Wouldn't put a number on it, but we're going to improve, you know, in a great sense. But we're also going to do a much better job of just making sure that the Chicago State brand is being reached out as far as possible.
Wins help, but the goal is much loftier than that.
For sure.
I appreciate that perspective. Hey, Coach Gillian, really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam. Man, have a good one, man. I look forward to doing this again soon.
All right, back here in the studio, Sam Brief with you. And thanks to Coach, first of all, for being so open. He really gets me fired up. I love the line about David and Goliath, right? David didn't show up with two pebbles. He showed up with a whole bunch, and he took him down. You know, so I asked Coach before we got started, I said, hey, did you watch that New Mexico State game over the weekend? Must have been pretty cool to see him take down UConn. He's like, yeah, I'm mad it wasn't us. I'm mad we weren't the team in position to beat UConn. And that's the next step for his team. So he's someone who's not just basking in the tiny bit of glory he got this season. He's someone who wants more of it for his program to advance Chicago State and turn it, as he said, into a household name. So that was part two of our Basketball in Review series. Part one was with the Chicago State head women's basketball coach, Tiffany Sardin. You can listen to that by just scrolling down a little bit on Apple or Spotify, wherever you are. And remember, you can hit subscribe on Apple or Spotify or wherever you are. Rate, review, and share this podcast with anyone you know who wants to listen. So again, thanks to Coach, and thanks to you for listening. I've been Sam Brief here in Chicago. Have a great rest of your week. This has been the Chi State Pod. Adios from Chicago.